This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our online community. We would love for you to join us at 8:30 or 10 a.m. on Sunday morning at the City Forum. In the meantime, if you would like to share a prayer request, make a financial contribution, or take a step at Real Life, you can text MISSION to 97,000. Now enjoy the podcast.
All right. Well, hey, turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Sarah sent us a note, I don't know, a month or two ago, said she was going to be moving to East Tennessee and that she really wanted to share some things with our church. And wasn't that amazing, church family? Just so great. Just encourage her. So beautiful. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but most of us will spend one third of our life at work. 90,000 hours. That's why we're doing a sermon series titled Work. If you're just jumping in with us, if this is your first Sunday in this sermon series, let me catch you up. Let me let you know where we've been. The first week, we just looked at this reality that work is good. And I know this is a hard sell for some of you because you might say, well, my job's not good. And that's not necessarily what we're saying. We're not saying that your job is good. We're not necessarily saying that your job circumstances are good. We're not necessarily saying you should like your job. But rather what we're saying is work as God designed it, as God intended for it, as God created it, work is good. We saw that God was a worker, that he put us in the garden to work, and that indeed Jesus worked. Jesus was a carpenter the vast majority of his life and only engaged in ministry 3 years. Have you ever thought about that? He engaged in what we would call a secular job, and Jesus was teaching us that, no, it indeed was a sacred job. Rolling up his sleeves, engaging in carpentry. So we saw that work is good. And then the next week, last week, we saw that work is now frustrated because of sin and because of the curse that came into the world. God cursed the ground because of sin. God cursed the first work partnership, that there would be a strain in the relationship between husband and wife. And so work is good, but work is frustrating, and what we're going to see in the coming weeks is just simply this. Work can be renewed, work is renewed, and then work is perfected. So the progression of work in God's universe is this. So you ready for it? Work is good, work is frustrated, work is renewed, and work is perfected. Now, if you're familiar with the storyline of the Bible and salvation history, then what you know is that actually just follows the salvation story. That indeed, work is good as man was good and man fell into sin, and now work experiences chaos just like man experiences chaos. And then when Jesus comes, Jesus renews work as he renews our hearts. And then when Jesus comes again, he will perfect work just as he will glorify our life. But it's important for us to think theologically and biblically about work. I'm titling the sermon this morning, Enjoyable and Empty. Enjoyable and Empty. So would you follow along with me as I read in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18 and following. Solomon writes this wisdom literature. The book of Ecclesiastes helps humanity maintain sanity. Because when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you go, whoa, okay, the way I think is normal. Verse 18. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that in these moments together, you would speak personally and powerfully to us through your sacred scriptures, by your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray, push through our apathy, push through our numb hearts. Let us be sensitive to hear your voice, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Do you resonate with what Solomon writes here? Toil, he describes his work first off as toil. And then he just paints this picture of, I'm going to bring my skill, and I'm going to bring my energy, and I'm going to bring my expertise to bear on work, and I might not even get to enjoy it. In other words, all my labor, the fruit of all my labor may actually fall into the hands of someone that comes after me. And I don't even know if he's going to be wise or foolish with what he does with it. He's like, vanity. It's just vanity. He actually calls it in the text a great evil. Do you feel that in your bones some days at work? It's like, up, here's the alarm clock again. You ever curse your alarm clock? That's what Solomon's doing here. He's like making up curse words for his alarm clock. Because he's like, back to the grind. Back to working, back to bringing my energy and my expertise, and I may not even taste the full fruit of my labor. I might give it to somebody who would be characterized as foolish. He says it's vanity. What is vanity? When you look up the word vanity, it literally means breath. Vanity means breath. It means empty. That's what vanity means. So he's saying, like, this work, this thing that I'm going to spend a third of my life in is empty. it's like breath. It's a vapor. It's here, and then it's gone. It can't hold weight. And yet, what we saw in the book of Beginnings is that work is good, that God himself was a worker, that he put Adam and Eve in the garden to work, that Jesus himself was a worker, and yet here we have Solomon doing what we like to call keeping it real. look at verse 18 again. I hated all my toil. He's keeping it real about his job. I hated it. He describes, look at verse 22. He says, what has a man from all the toil and striving of heart for which he toils beneath the sun? For all of his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Have you ever said the word vexation? Can we say it together? Vexation. All right, wake up, 8:30. I know the time change. It's got you. Let's just say it together. Can we say it out loud? Vexation. All right, little more like you're hungry to hear God's word and you want to know what vexation means. Would you say it with me? 1, 2, 3. Vexation. Oh yeah. Full of sorrow. Vexation. This is so important because so many of us, we watch an Instagram feed of somebody else. So many of us, we find ourselves trapped in the comparison game, and we think we're the only ones with a job filled with sorrow. And Solomon says, vexation. What does it mean? Vexation means grief, anger, irritation, taunt. It's like our jobs taunt us. It's like they poke fun at us. It's like we show up for work, we're fired up, we're going to crush Monday, we're going to bring everything in order, we're going to take dominion, we're going to bring everything under our feet, we're going to subdue the earth as God commanded Adam and Eve, we're about to crush it, and something goes wrong. And it taunts us. You feel that way? Anybody feel that way about their work? It's like the harder you work, the more frustrating it feels sometimes. So what should we do? Should we all quit our jobs and pool our money and go buy some land and just move into a hippie commune somewhere? Should we all just like quit our jobs and live off the government because you can make more on the government half the time than you can make on minimum wage? Is that what we should do? Look at verse 24. He gives us wisdom. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Solomon is keeping it real, and what he's saying is, look, work is enjoyable and it's empty. Work is enjoyable and it's empty. Think about when you empty your email inbox, how good it feels. Why does it feel so good when you clean your house? Why does it feel so good when you chop wood and stack it neatly in the backyard? Why does it feel so good to crush that presentation at work? Why does it feel so good? Why does it feel so good to ace that test at school? Why does it feel so good? Why does it feel so good to close that deal? Why does it feel so good to complete a building, a construction project? Why does it feel so good? It's not because it's the elimination of stress or the welcome to rest. It's not because I cleaned the house, I crushed the presentation, I finished the project, my email is empty, stress is gone. That's not it. It's not because, okay, I stacked the wood, I chopped it, now I get to sit back and just rest. Rest is beautiful, and it's part of the rhythm of humanity and the divine, and we'll talk about that before we're done with this series. But the reason it feels so good is because God has deeply wired us to be like him, and he is a worker. So he has entrusted the earth to us to subdue it, to bring it under order. He has entrusted the earth to us to take dominion, to bring it into order. So that when we do, there is something deeply meaningful in the experience. Many of us have never thought about this. Many of us, most of our life, we've just been living for the weekend. Many of us, our chief motivation for work has been, well, I got to feed my family, and I got to get to the weekend, and there's nothing else for me to do, and I don't want to be considered lazy. I don't want to be an outcast in society. I guess I'll get a job. And we've missed the beauty and the wonder of knowing that when we put our hands to a task and we bring order, you just think about a building. I think about a building a lot right now because I go out to the church building a lot. And right now there's all these materials stacked on the property, all kinds of materials. I don't know what any of them are. Surprise, surprise. But there's a worker who does. And right now, it's all laid out nice and neat. And there's going to be a team of people that bring their expertise to bring order to all of their various pieces and make something beautiful out of it. That's taking dominion. And that's what God has called each of us to do in our work. So the empty email inbox is not just so you can get to Friday. It's not just so you can de-stress and rest, but rather it's so that you can reflect the beauty and order of God and what he intended to be displayed in the earth. We were designed to take dominion in our work. Friends, we must understand this on a deep, personal, and practical level. So here's just some ideas and some conclusions. Though frustrated, work is still good. That's what Solomon is teaching us here. A toil, it's an evil, yet the best thing you can do is enjoy it, he says. Though difficult, work is still directed. So work is difficult, but it's still directed by God. What's interesting to me is here's Solomon writing about work, writing about his job before Jesus comes. In other words, work has not yet been renewed by the Son of God through the Spirit of God. It's in this tension where the toil feels difficult and humanity doesn't yet have a new heart to approach their work with. Jesus has not yet come. He's not yet filled his people with his Spirit to approach work with a new heart. And yet he says it's still to be enjoyed. Though empty, work can still be enjoyed. There's this tension, a divine tension. So where does this help us? What helps us in numerous ways, and perhaps when a new concept begins to come into your mind, it begins to have ripple effects over time. So what I don't anticipate is one sermon series is going to absolutely transform everybody's perspective like that according to work. But here's what I believe. I believe as you're introduced to these biblical concepts of work, you're going to begin to assimilate them into your daily life, and you're going to begin to see work renewed in your mind and heart. You're gonna see it with a fresh perspective. Here's why Ecclesiastes helps us. It helps us be realistic about work. Many of us have unrealistic perspectives about work. We just don't see it realistically. Until work is perfected, it can be enjoyed, but it cannot satisfy, for it is filled with sorrow. So there's a real nuance here. There's a real tension here of we want to enjoy work as a gift from God, but we don't want to put our hope in work as what can satisfy our souls. So there's a measured approach to work of I'm not just throwing it out. It's not just toil. It's not just a great evil. It's not just filled with sorrow. It's a good designed by God, entrusted to us to be enjoyed. But because of the sorrow introduced through sin and God's curse on the ground, work can't fully satisfy us. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Son of God, he can. He can. Hey, maybe there's somebody here today in your whole life, you've been dreaming about a job, you finally got that job, you put blood, sweat, and tears to get that job. Now you're in debt because you did everything to get that job. And it's all because you believed that having that job would finally bring that peace and joy and satisfaction to your heart. Ecclesiastes is really helpful because it warns us against that folly. That job cannot, will not satisfy your soul. But the one who designed work can satisfy your soul, God himself. Do you have a relationship with God? Today you can enter into a relationship with God through faith in his son Jesus. Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He removed that barrier, that sin barrier between us and God so that we could be reunited with the Father. He rose victoriously from the grave to reconcile us to God. If you haven't trusted Jesus, make today your day to trust him. This text in Ecclesiastes, it helps us hold in tension the enjoyment of work and the emptiness of work. the goodness of work and the sorrow of work. How should this help us practically? Well, first, it gives us a little stability. What do I mean by that? Well, many of us, we feel like we're you know, the theme, the soundtrack of our work journey is the U2 song, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." And when we understand the nature of work in a fallen world, it can bring stability. What do I mean by that? It means that we're not necessarily having to jump from job to job to job to job to job. Because it's like, oh, you know what? My job is filled with sorrow now. That job's going to be filled with sorrow. And that job's going to be done by the sweat of my brow. And that job is going to be frustrated because of the curse. Do you see it, church? Do you see that? Now, look, there are some job environments that you ought to pray like mad and work like everything you got to get out of. I get that. But what I'm saying is this big picture perspective on work helps us have stability in that. It's not just a, oh, the grass is greener and a different job is going to be what makes life right. No, every job is filled with sorrow. Every job is filled with sorrow. The second is perspective. Is perspective. Some of us this morning, we're really frustrated with our boss and coworkers because work is hard. And the temptation is to blame everybody that we work with, right? Like, work is hard because of her, or work is hard because of him, or work is hard because they can't get their act together. Work is hard because God cursed the ground. He disciplined humanity because of sin. Work is hard because God brought strain into the relationship between husband and wife, the first work partnership. So this text has the potential to give us perspective where you begin to go a little lighter on your coworkers. Where you realize, oh, it's not just their fault. In every job, there's going to be sorrow and sweat of my brow and frustration. And then it helps us with the comparison and contentment. Because so many of us, we just kind of always have an eye open for that better job, right? And that's not, like, it's not a bad thing. Don't hear something I'm not saying, church. I'm speaking in principles and wisdom this morning. I'm speaking out of wisdom literature, the book of Ecclesiastes. So I'm speaking in the context of principles and wisdom, not in absolutes. I'm seeking to offer practical help that may help you today and tomorrow and Tuesday. So should you be looking to advance in your career? I mean, maybe, probably. Unless that idea of advancing in your career is like there's some magical pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that's gonna make work easy and life happy. Listen to the word of God. You can argue with Solomon all day long, but God inspired the book of Ecclesiastes so that we would have a realistic perspective about work until Jesus comes again. You know what I really think about it? I think what Solomon thinks about it. I hate it. look at verse 18. What does he say? Look at it. I hated all my toil. Amen, Solomon. Me too. But because as soon as you get the email inbox empty, here comes another one, doggone it. It's like empty for like 30 seconds and then there's a new email. And as soon as you get the house cleaned, here comes the dog that just wallowed in mud. Right? And as soon as you close that deal, here's an email from a customer that just transferred. Just lost a customer. And the enjoyment of work is mingled with the emptiness of work. And it always will be until Jesus comes back and perfects work. This world is not our home. The Bible says we're aliens and strangers. So even the work we do, it should feel familiar and foreign. Because it speaks of the goodness of what once was, and it speaks of the goodness of what's to come. And indeed it is good, yet filled with sorrow. Oh, the tension. Some of you right now, you feel like your soul is a rubber band because the tension is so tight. What should we do with this tension? Long for Jesus's return. Because he's the only one that will perfect work. He's the only one that'll bring perfection to our work. We're going to build a building. It's going to be beautiful. In the third week we move in, a pipe's going to burst. I mean, I'm not prophesying, right? Well, you might bring your dog to church. He's all over the carpet in the kids' space. I don't know. But church, you get the point? So hopefully this wisdom from God's word helps us be realistic about work. If we find ourselves in the comparison trap, it will rob us of contentment. So there's wisdom in certainly bringing your expertise to bear and taking opportunities that come before you to excel and to advance. But if you live all your days in that place of looking for the greener grass, you won't have contentment, which is a gift God wants to give you so you can flourish. God wants us to flourish. That's why our vision at Real Life is to be a flourishing people and a multiplying movement. And we don't just mean to flourish when you're worshiping on Sunday morning. We mean flourishing Monday through Saturday and on second shift and third shift and when you're opening morning shift. And so may the sacred scriptures shape our attitude and our approach to work that God's entrusting to us as a stewardship. I'm so fired up. As I heard Sarah's testimony this morning, it just made me wonder, how many Sarahs might we work with? Right? Don't you just love her honesty and vulnerability today? She's talking so openly and honestly about, I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian. And then to hear her life being so transformed by Jesus, it's amazing that many of us are going to scatter into work environments Monday, and we're going to sit right next to somebody like Sarah that needs the hope of Jesus. That the potential of having their life totally transformed, it's right there. It's right there. It's right there. So let's pray for God to energize us, to fill us with his Spirit, to give us the mind of Christ as he's promised to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God. Thank you for teaching us about work, Lord. And we pray, just help us, God, understand your plan for work. Thank you, God, for entrusting to us this earth you created. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being commissioned to take dominion. Thank you, God, for giving us energy and skill and brilliance that reflects your hand. And Father, give us a realistic perspective about work, we pray, for the glory of your name, so we can be content and flourish all of our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, church. Let's sing out.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something special in your heart today. We hope to see you on Sunday very soon. Keep it real, keep it Jesus.